Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for today is from the epistle reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, especially these words. Paul writes and says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, and he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears in me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me in the flesh. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" This is our text. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These words are words that St. Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians. And as Paul is writing these words, one thing that we can say about him is that he is consistent for sure. He only alludes to it, but he doesn't even try to describe for us the indescribable sights that he saw, the things that he experienced, the things that he witnessed, the things that he heard that no man might possibly utter. Oh, what heaven, what paradise must be like. And it's so tantalizing for us. It's so wonderful, but it is so mysterious. Everything that Paul is describing for us here, it's so mysterious. Even this name that he gives it, the third heaven, what in the world does that mean? You know, you and I and 100 other people, we could sit around here all day and we could talk about it, we could guess, we could speculate, but it doesn't do us any good because there is only one who knows for sure what it is that Paul saw and what he experienced here, but he doesn't share anymore. He doesn't go any further. He took the secret with him to the grave, and all we know for sure right now is that he's right in the middle of all of it at this very moment. Paul is experiencing for himself all of those wonders and all that glory. And good for him. Well done, good and faithful servant. He deserves it. Especially what with all of the things that Paul had to deal with in his life and all of the things that St. Paul experienced during his ministry, including this other mystery that he leaves us with here today in our reading. As Paul talks about this thorn that was given to him in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass him. Now, what is this thorn in the flesh that Paul is dealing with? Again, you and I, we could sit around and we could guess and we could speculate all day long about what this is, what the struggle was that he had to wrestle with throughout his ministry, throughout his life, but none of us will be able to say for sure. What we do know about it is this: if Paul's describing it as a messenger from Satan, we know that it's no small or simple thing. It was real and it was awful. You could almost literally describe this as hell on earth. Isn't it interesting in this one little passage and in this reading that we have for today, just how quickly Paul goes from one extreme to the other? Paul takes us from mystery to mystery, from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, from the ecstasy to the agony, from the glory beyond any description to a pain that is beyond comprehension. He takes us from angelic choirs to demonic torturers, from a glimpse of heaven to a taste of hell. Incredible, isn't it? How quickly, in this one little passage, we experience all of this. Paul gives us all these mysteries, all this unexplained stuff. What do we do with all this? What do we make of all of it? Well, one thing that we can make of all this, one thing that we can take away for sure is this. Our first takeaway, what I take away from this, is the reality of the spiritual realm. A place beyond anything that we can see. And it's a place of mystery. It's a place beyond our reason and our logic. Heaven certainly is for real, but so is hell. There are those angelic choirs, the beauty and the glory of heaven. There are real miracles. Our God is real and he is working in this world, but we also know that Satan is real and he does work and he tempts and he does indeed torment. And the second takeaway, the thing that I take away from what Paul is telling us here and what he's describing, the other thing I notice here is this. The spiritual realm, it is real, but it is also a mystery. Paul doesn't go too far. He doesn't give us very, very many more details here. He doesn't reveal too many of the secrets. And for some of us, it feels like maybe his reticence about this and his sort of holding back on these details, maybe it can feel a little bit frustrating how elusive he is being. And that brings me to my third takeaway from this reading for today. I think it's maybe the most important takeaway for us. It's not the wild speculation about the unknown, because you see, for you and me, when it comes to the unknown, our faith can't linger there. On what we don't know. Because there is just so much of it. The unknown is so great and it is so large and it is so vast that it is going to overwhelm you and me. It's going to overload us when we think about it and when we consider it. The endless infinity of all the possibilities that you end up when you're dealing with the unknown. What about this? What if that? The unknown is just that. It is the unknown. It's the things that we don't understand. It's the mysteries. The secret things. And I love how in the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses is writing the book of Deuteronomy, he describes it in this way. And Moses is another one of those who had this incredible opportunity. He saw incredible mysteries. He saw things that we could only begin to imagine. And Moses describes it this way in Deuteronomy chapter 29. The secret things belong to the Lord. But the things that are revealed are the things that belong to us and our children forever. It's not the unknown that takes precedence here, but it's the known. And what is known? What is it that you and I know? What is it that you and I can be sure of? What is it that Paul knows? What is it that Paul can be absolutely sure of and certain of? Well, he gives it to us here in this reading for today, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What do we know for sure? What God says to him and to you and me. Simple little sentence here. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient, God says to Paul and to you and me. It's a simple little sentence, but the significance of the simple little statement is stunning, and it is deep, and it is profound. Because within all of us, within you and me and Paul and every single one of us, there lives this doubt that is fed by the fires of Satan, this doubt that is fed by the fires of this world, this doubt that is fed by the fires that are inside of each and every one of us. That doubt that says, I don't have enough. That doubt that makes us fear and wonder, do I know enough? That doubt and that fear that makes us wonder, am I good enough? That doubt and fear that leads you and me, maybe even Paul himself, to wonder and to say sometimes, I am not enough. Because friends, out of all the things that we don't know, there is something that we know for sure, something that we know far too well. And we know ourselves. What is deep down inside of each and every one of us. We know all about our limitations, what it is that we can't do, the things that we are not good at. Especially when we compare ourselves to this person or that person or the other person. We know all about our bodies and our minds and the stuff that they cannot do. We know all about the stuff that our hearts just cannot take. We know all about the pain and the hurt that we've lived with. And we can tell ourselves that even though we think that we should be able to just power right on through it all, we feel guilty. Maybe we feel a little ashamed that somehow and in some way we just can't muster up that strength to do all things and to be all things. We know all about our faults and our failures and our shortcomings. We know all about the circumstances and the situations and the way that life in this world gives us so much stuff that we can't control. We can't fix it. We can't solve it. Every single one of us lives with all of this. It's like some kind of dirty little secret that we try to keep hidden inside of us. We try to keep it hidden from others. It is true, as that old classic hymn, Amazing Grace, describes you and me. It does say that word, we are wretches. And it's scary and it's frustrating for us because we imagine and we think about it that if others saw the real us, if others saw all these things that we're dealing with and all the things that we struggle with, if they saw this reality, we're afraid that they would reject us. And if they would reject us, well, then what about God? Wouldn't God reject me too? But the beautiful thing here is that as much as we try to keep this all hidden, we think that we're so good at it, we think we're so smart, we're so able to keep up that appearance. None of this is ever hidden from God. He knows it all and he sees it all. He knows you and me. He knows St. Paul. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But our God is a God who still, in spite of all that, in spite of knowing us and knowing all about this, he is the one who still persists in saying this to St. Paul and to you and me. He says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. Because this grace of God, this amazing grace of God, is a grace that finds you and me. It finds St. Paul as we are, not as we ought to be, not as we wish to be, not as we should be. And this grace is a grace that saves. Now, this grace of God doesn't magically change everything all at once. It doesn't take away all the trouble, all the hurt, all the limitations, and all the pain. But this grace is there. This grace of God is there with us and for us. In the reality of what is, in our prayers and in our tears and all of our questions and in all of our doubts, that grace is there to receive God's answer and to receive His will, not as we might want it to be or not as we might see it or as we might understand it, but to receive it all according to God's wisdom and His will. To trust in this God whose amazing grace was sufficient to carry Paul through his weaknesses. The amazing grace of God that was enough to carry Jesus through the weakness and the suffering and the death of the cross. Not just to carry, but more than that. This amazing grace of God that could take the weakness and the suffering and to transform it into a demonstration of God's power. That this amazing grace of God is a grace that could work through Paul's thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. That this amazing grace of God is a grace that could work through a crown of thorns and the nails and the wood and the blood of the cross, to bring about blessings beyond anything that we could ever conceive, beyond anything that we could ever imagine or know. It's a demonstration that God's goodness and His grace and His power and His glory, not ours, is what is at work in this world. It makes all things possible and it makes everything new. Transforms all things. It even transforms you and me. This grace of God is a grace that comes to us here in this world where it is that we are. And it says to you and it assures you that the struggles that you're having, the pain, the suffering, the limitations that you deal with, the torment that you're going through, this taste of hell that you are experiencing, it is just that. It is only a taste. And it's not going to last. But what does last and what does endure is the grace of God, our Heavenly Father. That grace of God that will bring you into glory and splendor and majesty beyond anything that your eyes have seen or your ears have heard, beyond anything you could ever imagine. The majesty of God's peace. That grace of God that declares to you and me, peace. You have enough. You are enough. Because our God is a God who declares to you that message of His grace. He says to you, I have called you by name through the waters of baptism. I have forgiven all of your sins in the blood of the cross, and I have made you exactly who you are, exactly who I want you to be. You are enough because you are mine. Now may that amazing grace and that love of God, our Heavenly Father, that surpasses all of our understanding, may this guard and keep your hearts and your minds in faith to Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. As we live in faith, trusting Him to life everlasting. Amen.